the existence here? What is the purpose of the church? Is it that we just come in every week and have a good time of praise and worship and hear a sermon, and then we can just go back home and be the same people, or we can just live our life the way we want to every day? Let me tell you what, when Jesus becomes our focus, that's when we become the church the Lord wants us to be. Other than that, no church will ever glorify the Lord. No ever church will ever lift up the name of the Lord. If you don't lift up the name of Jesus, you're in trouble. Because as you know, we've been looking at the Gospel of John now for this whole summer. We've been looking at different parts of the Gospel of John. And this morning, I want to talk about us being a Great Commission church. A Great Commission church. What's it take to be a Great Commission church? By the way, we have three guys that have just come back from Africa. And we're glad to have you back among us. Amen? Amen. They only have one extra Sunday. You've got to get their legs underneath them. They're still in a little bit of jet lag. Because for them right now, it's about 7:30 in the evening. And they're getting close to going to bed here a little bit, okay? And so if they fall asleep in my sermon, give them a break today, okay? This is the only day I'll give them a break, anyway. But I tell you what, they went to the uttermost part of the earth. By the way, if they didn't go to the uttermost part of the earth, they could see it from there. Because I tell you, when you get to Kenya, Africa, and you get in Nairobi, and you go out among the people there in the different tribes, they were to a new tribe there, and they're going to share next week about the testimony. Don't miss next Sunday about what God did in their life and through their life. And let me tell you what, God didn't only use them mightily, I think God changed them as a result of the trip. And if you can't make a trip like that, be in the presence of Holy God remain the same. And neither can us, by the way. If you're in the presence of Holy God, you can never, ever be the same. Isn't it interesting? Excuse me. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus, he wants us to be a Great Commission church, but isn't it interesting of Jesus when he was sharing in the Gospel of John, he's trying to remind each of us about the fact that all we need is Jesus. All we need is him. By the way, we don't have to add Jesus plus anything else equals salvation. It's Jesus alone. By faith, by grace through faith in him. Remember the key word in the Gospel of John? We've been looking at the word pastuo, the word that is mentioned all throughout all of these different seven miracles, and we looked at several of them. They believed. They put their faith. They had a conviction. And it wasn't a head knowledge. It was a heart experience, and they were changed. Whether it be after Jesus fed the 5,000, he said, I am the bread of life in John 6:35. He says, if any of you hunger, come to me. Because he said, I can fulfill your hunger. I can fulfill your thirst. He says over there in John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. He's the one that gives us life, folks. We looked at that last Sunday. I raised Lazarus from the grave, and he gave him life. He gave him life, and he gave him liberty. And now we can have that same liberty, because Jesus is the light of the world. He tells us over in John chapter 10, verse 7, I'm the door to the sheep. In other words, the only door is through Jesus. That's the only way is through him. He says, that's how you're saved is through me. He says, you come in and come out of that door. Back in that time, the shepherd would build a pen for the sheep, and it would have all these different rushes around it, and then they would have the place where the shepherd would lay down. He would be the door, if you please. And none of those sheep could come in, or none of them could go out except for Jesus. Now, today, this morning, that's exactly how it works. The way we get into the kingdom of God, the way we trust The Lord is through Jesus Christ alone. He's the only way, man. He said in John 10, if you come by any other way, you're in trouble. Some here today, man, you come by works. You say, well, I've done a lot of good things, that's why I'm going to heaven. You're not going to heaven when you're doing works. You're going to heaven through Jesus Christ alone. Well, I've been baptized. Baptism does not save you. Well, my parents were Christians. By the way, we weren't redeemed with corruptible things, 1 Peter 1:18. But by like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. He goes on and says, not by the tradition of our fathers. You're not saved because your father was a Christian or your mother was a Christian. You're saved when you come to the place that you know you need a Savior and you trust Him completely. And now we see the door of the sheep. He says, I am, in verse 14 of chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. I'm the one, it literally says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Folks, listen, the shepherd in that day would literally lay his life down if a sheep was under the attack of a wolf or a bear or a lion. Remember David in 1 Samuel 17 when he faces Goliath? He said, the Lord gave me strength to kill a bear. He gave me strength to kill a lion. And Goliath, you're coming down today. By the way, David didn't bring him down, God did. But listen to me. The shepherd would take care of him. And the shepherd is willing to take care of anyone who comes to him. It's only through Jesus. And then remember we looked at I am the resurrection of life last week. And then remember that word, do you believe this, that he's the resurrection of life? If you don't believe that he's the resurrection of life, you can't have eternal life. And in order John 14:6, he makes it very plain. He's comforting his disciples. He's about to leave them. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The only way is through me. No other way can you go but through Jesus. And he reminds us that he is the true vine. And by the way, if we're believers, we'll be a branch that is plugged in. We will have we will abide, we will have communion with Jesus. We're plugged into Him. When we get saved, we get plugged into Him. He is the vine, we're the branches. And when we're plugged into Him, the Bible says that without Him, we can do nothing. We come to Him today, trust Him. If you ever got from the scripture, I want you to go to Matthew 28. Then we're going to go to Acts 1. Let's go to Matthew 28. Recognition Church. The reason I preach this today is because we have a great opportunity ahead of us this week, folks. We have a great opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Why are we giving school supplies to over 500 children? Are we doing it so everybody says we're a great church? By the way, I don't know if you've noticed, a lot of churches, they get pressed for that. Our church has never gotten pressed for that. We don't need the press. Because we're not doing it for us. We're doing it for Him.
Right.
We're never in a newspaper. We're never in a news story. You know what? It doesn't matter. Because what we do is in the sight of God. And the God who sees us, He will reward us accordingly. But why do we do what we do? Why do we do that? Why do we hand out school supplies? We hand them out because we're going to give them a Bible. And remember, this time we're going to share the gospel openly right on the stage and give people an opportunity to come to Christ. That's this Friday night, Saturday. Right now we set up, bring a cover dish, make some food. Saturday, we get everything set up, and then they start coming in here. They'll be lined up the door there at 7 o'clock in the morning, even though we don't open until 9. They'll be out that door. But listen to me. We have an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I'm challenging members to come and help us out, to be a part of that. God has blessed us. Why do we go? The week after that, we're going to the prison to preach to the people in prison. Why do we go to the prison? We go to the prison because everyone needs the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
They're down and out. The Lord can come and change their life. And I've seen him do that. I've had many times I've gotten letters from prisoners who are back home. They've been saved. Their life has changed. Their family is renewed. And God is giving his glory. That's all we do, we do. Why do we do what we do? Why do we do these things? We do them for the Lord, to glorify God. Why do we send bring in the cross, clear cross country to Africa? We do it because we're concerned about the Great Commission. We're concerned that we would take the gospel to the utter ends of the earth. And we have done that. I'm looking forward to hearing from these guys. And it's going to be exciting. But if you look at Matthew 28, Jesus is trying to once again tell his disciples that remember they saw him and they bowed down and they worshiped him in verse 17. But it said that some doubted. By the way, we still have people that doubt today. You realize that? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all I was doing was doing that. And they heard, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. By the way, Matthew today, church, we don't do this alone. The Lord is. The Lord will go before us, even before these three men that went to Africa, their group there, saw literally hundreds of people saved. They're going to be sharing about the different ones you got saved. I'll tell you what, that's going to be exciting. But listen to me. We do what we do that people might come to Christ. That every ministry of our church ought to be Christ-centered. That's the reason we do the basketball league. That's the reason we do that. That's the reason we do Vacation Bible School. That's the reason we do the school supplies. Everything we do should point people to Jesus. And if it didn't point people to Jesus, we're not being the Great Commission Church. How can we be a Great Commission Church? First of all, we must have an obedient heart to go. To go. You hear that word go? Go. God never calls us to sin. He calls us to go. Amen? My Bible says here, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So, and literally, that means to share the gospel. Be willing to share the gospel. Teach them about the good news. The word gospel means, is the word evangelion. It means good news. Jesus is good news. But you must have an obedient heart to go. That day, church today, a lot of churches are lying up on the vine. You know why they're lying up on the vine? Because they have forgot the permission to go. They sit every Sunday in their padded pews, and then during the week, they don't do anything. They never share the gospel with anyone. And people never come to Christ. God never intended the church to sit. He intended the church to go. In fact, throughout the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, that's written by a political position. Every time you see the church, they're going. They're going, whether they're going to Jerusalem, and that's where they started, and the Holy Spirit came to Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, but they didn't stay in Jerusalem. They went to Judea, and then they went to Samaria. By the way, Samaritans and Jews didn't get along. They didn't like each other. We have our Samaritans today. Many people, we have opinions about, but let me tell you what, the gospel is available to everyone. It isn't available just to us or people like us. These doors should be open to anyone and everyone who wants to come. We must carry out the Great Commission. We ought to have an obedient heart to go. You know what? God spoke to my looking for your ability. He's looking for your faith. 2 Sundays from now, Dr. Roy Hawkins is going to be here to preach. A great, great man of God. He can preach. I think that was going to be blessed that Sunday to hear him preach the word. But I'm going to tell you what, we're not going to see what we want to see unless you and I invite people to come. You have next week here, and next Sunday. 70, you had some people up at 70 to come, to be a part. We got to go into the highways and hedges, and we got to compel people. We got to invite people to come to Christ, and that's our responsibility. We must accept those divine appointments. That's what Jesus did. That's what the Apostle Paul did. That's what the early church did. You remember over there in Acts chapter 8? Philip the deacon, he's a deacon. He was full of faith and of wisdom, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible, he went to Samaria. They're having a revival over in Samaria, but guess what? They're having a revival over in Samaria, but the Lord has another plan for him. The Spirit of God came to him, and he said, go to Gaza. Go to the desert. You say, okay, Lord, we're having a great time over here. We're seeing revival. We're seeing great things happen. How can I leave what I'm doing? Whenever God calls us, we got to go, by the way. God's calling us. We got to go find someone to come with us on Sunday the 19th when we have Dr. Owens Hawkins here. We're having a full meal. They get a free meal, a barbecue. We're at Thanks to the Children, Pony Rides, and the Petting Zoo. No, that's drawing people. By the way, as one person said, you can't have enough folks in the water. Because we're fishing, amen? We're to be fishers of men. That's what God called us to do. And that's what Philip did. You know, there, guess what? There was one man, one person. We call him the Ethiopian eunuch. He'd been to Jerusalem for the worship. He was coming back by chariot. And he has the scroll of Isaiah laying on his lap. He's reading from that scroll of Isaiah. He's reading Isaiah 53, talking about Jesus. All we ask you to go astray and turn everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He saw that, and he says, do you understand what's written? He says, how can I accept someone guide me? In Acts 8:35, it says, he began the same scripture, and he preached unto him, Jesus. He didn't say, let me tell you a few things about our church. Let me tell you a few things about this. No, he told them about Jesus. That's our message, folks. Our message is not how great a church we have, or our pastor or staff, or music ministry, or children's ministry, or youth, whatever ministry. I want you to know our message is Jesus. And if we don't share that message, where will we go? Philip was obedient. Now he killed me. You got to say one person. Have you ever noticed in the Bible how one person is important to the Lord?
Amen.
One.
Yes.
There was one, Zacchaeus, that was up in the sycamore tree in Luke chapter 19. And Jesus stops and says, Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus got saved. He demonstrated he got saved because he returned back to the sheep. He was a tax collector for the Roman government. And he returned back when he sold for people fourfold. According to the Old Testament law, he gave half his goods to the poor. And his life was forever changed when he came encounter with Jesus. One man, and Jesus says there in Luke 19:10, his mission statement. He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's Jesus' mission statement. That should be our mission statement. We ought to seek and save those which are lost. We ought to have an obedient heart to go. But secondly, this morning we must have an understanding that lost people will spend eternity in hell. Do you hear me this morning? Lost people. You know what? I think sometimes we don't even think. You ever think about that? How that person that maybe you work with, that person that lives near you, that family member of yours, that you know is lost. But the question is, who cares whether a sinner goes to hell or not? Who cares? Well, I don't know who cares this morning. God cares. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God the Father cares whether lost people go to hell or not. Jesus cares. That's why in Luke chapter 15, he gives a parable. It's three parables, but there's a man who had 100 sheep. There was one that was lost, and he left the 99, and went out and found the one. And the story behind those parables, he said there was great joy because that which was lost is found. Before you came to Christ, you were lost. But praise God, someone shared with you the gospel, and because of that, you've been found. And there's great joy when one person gets saved. Amen. Amen. I think someone else who cares, the Holy Spirit cares. Yeah. The Bible says in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit says, come. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, listen, the Holy Spirit cares. He's Christocentric. Every time the Holy Spirit is God, he's pointing people to Jesus. And he's filling us with the Spirit that we might share the power of God in our lives, and we might let someone else, not maybe lost people in hell, care. Remember the lost one in hell said, Father Abraham, if you sin Lazarus, fetch his finger in the water because I'm going into this life. And what he said, there's a great gulf. There's going to be a day, church, listen to me, that in the day of Noah, the door will be shut. The door will be shut. People will spend eternity burning in hell. You know Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven? Not too many pastors want to talk about hell today, because that's, you know, people say, well, that's kind of disconcerting to us. Let me tell you what, I think if there was a little bit more hell in the pulpit, there would be a whole lot more salvation to the Lord. If we understand and we believe that people without Christ will spend eternity away from Christ, that's the worst part, but they will burn and never be consumed. That ought to wake us up. Back, one of the great men, William Booth, in the Salvation Army, once said that whatever believer needs, they need to spend about 5 minutes in hell. It will change their outlook. I said, God help us understand. The angels in heaven care. You remember in Luke 15 parable? It says the angels rejoice over one who comes to salvation. And saved people ought to care. We got to understand that he without Christ will spend eternity in heaven. Thirdly, we got to understand the gospel is for that you've ever committed up to today. And he'll give you a brand new start. You will have Jesus in your heart and in your life. And you'll leave this person at place as a new person, a new creation in Christ. And by the way, you say, well, I gotta work on this place. That can be my life, then the first, then I'll come to Christ. Then you tell you what, the Lord wants you to come to Christ. And after you come to Christ, the Lord will change you. He doesn't change people. The Lord does. And he doesn't do it from the outside in. He does it from the inside out. That's what he does. And we must be a great commission church to understand the gospel is for everyone. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. And the gospel must be first published among all nations. Mark 13:10. We're to go to all the world. Mark 16:15. And in over in Acts 1:8, you, as the Holy Spirit's come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. We must understand the gospel is available for anyone and everyone who will see that they're lost, they need a Savior, and they're willing to give their life to Christ. You know what? Some people will never know unless you tell. We got to have the willingness to disciple those who come to Christ, which our church is doing. Come back. At David's church, you want to witness this? By the way, the witness is the word, you get our English word, martyr. The word martus in the Greek language, you get our word martyr from. A witness tells what he or she has seen or heard. Amen? Have you been changed? If you met the Lord, if you have met the Lord, you have something to share.
Amen.
Throughout the scriptures, whenever God's people were available to him, they had obedient heart to God, they had an understanding of all people, will spend eternity in hell, and the gospel is available to everyone, and then they understood that that great commission was God's commission to them. They went and did what God had told them to do. You realize we have a mandate from God? It's not a suggestion. He says, you shall be witnesses. The next one, you shall be witnesses. Command. He didn't say, well, when you get around to it, by the way, you realize that every one of us is being a witness every day.
Amen.
People are looking at your life. And you're the only Jesus' son people will ever see. What do they see? Do they see Jesus in you? Do they see joy that only Jesus gives? Do they see peace that only comes from God? Do they see patience? Do they see kindness? Andrew and I went to this last week to get some school supplies over in Cleveland. What was the name of that place? Big Box. They had the notebooks, small notebooks, for 17 cents. And so we got over 200 of them because that's a good deal, by the way. We want to hand out to children. We got up to the check stand, and the little girl, she had all these. I mean, we had 8 boxes. 24, I think we had a 9 box of over 200. And she calls the manager up, and her manager says, you got to check every one of the 9 individuals. Now, we had a choice to make at that point. We could have been ugly, but no, God allowed us to encourage that young lady. I bet that young lady said that she used to come to Langbury Baptist Church when she was a teenager. I said, well, it's been too long. You need to come back. We invite you to come to church. And we invite her to come. She did them one by one. We stacked them up one by one. But let me tell you what, God gives us opportunities every day like that. If we can have the mind and heart of Jesus, we can. We have a mandate. We're to be witnesses. What is the means by which we share? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Quickly turn to Acts chapter 3. I'll look through this. You should see this. And by the way, the disciples, they just had Pentecost. I mean, 3,000 people were saved. Pretty good, amen?
Yeah.
Because God used Peter, which he restored. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, and God restored him. He gets over there, they're going up to the temple to pray. By the way, they didn't stop their prayer once 3,000 people got saved. By the way, church, even though this year, since September, we've had 89 new members, it's not time to stop, it's time to continue. Amen? It's time to say, wow. We got all these new members. We're doing good. Just pat us on the back and say, let's just quit. But it's time to quit because the Lord's coming soon. And we must be ready. But they need a man there. A man that was laying at the gate called Beautiful. He's asking alms. Here, Peter and John, go up there. Or they in a circle and thank God for Peter and John. They were out. They were going to pray. They were going to church. The temple to pray. But guess what? There was a man there. There was a man at their gate. Now I'm thankful they didn't say to him, hey, listen, we don't have time today. We're going to pray. There's a prayer meeting going on. By the way, I told you when I first came here, if you're late to church on Sunday because you're leading someone to Christ, that's all right. Because we ought to be leading people to Christ. We ought to be sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But this man, notice what it says, who's seen Peter and John in verse 3, about to go to the temple, asking him to Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, when John said, look on us. And literally, the word there is for eyes in the Greek language. It means look into us. Look at our lives. He wanted them to see what God had done for them. Look into us. And he says that he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said this in that verse. Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give to thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Amen. Well, man, I don't know about you, I'm thankful for Peter. I don't know about me, that's all about Peter distracted by the hand pulls him up. Whoa. This guy's lame since birth. Excuse me. Old Luke's recorded it. Luke, the physician in Acts, is recorded. He says he began to see him, stripped his ankle bones in his legs, and what he began? He began to leap and praise God. Why? His life was forever changed. He not only got physical healing, he got spiritual healing that day. Praise God. And God did a mighty work in him. But thank God that they said the right thing. They did the right thing. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And we were skinned. And they knew that it was he that sat at arms by the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement, theros. And at which time it happened unto him. You hear me today? I want you to hear this. Don't miss this. When I was in seminary, Dr. Lloyd Fish, the great professor of evangelism, he said, you know what? Every story goes like this. There's a man, there's the messengers, there's the message, and there's a miracle. By the way, that preach. Because the class I took with him, he took the Bible. He didn't have about $400 worth of books sitting there. He took the Bible and he showed us how Jesus, one by one by one, shared people. Whether it be the woman at the well, whether it be the kiss of a tree, or whether it be the man that had been lame 38 years that looked at, or whether it be the nobleman's son that was healed. One person. It's one person important. I tell you today, one person is important to God. And one person ought to be important to us. By the way, if every one of us invited one person around the same, what would happen? We'd see the power around these things. I challenge you to hear the word of God today. For some here today, what you need is you need a Savior. You've heard about Jesus. You know what? It's not just enough to hear about him. You've got to know him. The only way, Jesus said, I'm the only way. I'm the door. You've got to enter in through him. I'm going to invite you home. We're going to stand. I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite you to come down this aisle. If you're visiting, if you're in your son, fine. I'm going to invite you to come down this aisle and say, I need Jesus. What are you going to say? I need Jesus. Someone here is going to sit down in front of you and share with you how to be invited Jesus into your life. It's the greatest decision you're going to make. God's calling you. Second, there are some here that have been visiting our church, and this is what God wants you to be a part of the church family. We invite you to join by letter, by statement today. Some say, hey, I want to be a part of the church. That is a great community.